Amen. God bless you. Happy to be here with us, you all again. And ask the Lord just to always be with us and guide us and lead us where we need to go in the way we need to go. I would listen to Brother Bob's Sunday school and enjoy it. And you know, you think of people, some people you do good for, they treat you evil, and some you do things for they won't at all. And I had a friend talking to me, and all of a sudden she said, "I can't stand you. What have I done? You can't stand me. I don't mean I can't stand you. You get on my nerves." That's the same thing. Write me a letter, a card. If you need to go anywhere, to the doctor in the morning, or anytime you need to go to one, just call me, and I'll take you. I don't know what kind of friend that is, but this is that one that's some kind of way. We're going to read this morning from Psalm 24, verses 1 through 10. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that we do things the way that you want us to do and according to your word. Lord, let us not be concerned with how friends treat us or don't treat us. Lord, your love and kindness is our blessing unto us. Lord, you died upon Calvary, Lord, for those that hated you. Lord, you died for those that loved you. God, the same thing that we want to do, we want to have love in our hearts continually for everyone. Lord, whether they love us or hate us, God, that is not our concern. Our concern, Father, is to be one with you and be blessed according to your word. Lord, wherever we go and whatever we do, let us raise up with our thoughts upon you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. I'm going to read some Psalms 24, 1 through 10. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Who shall ascend into the hills of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and the righteousness from God of his salvation.
This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah.
Lift up your hands, O ye gates, be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Lift up your head, O ye gates, even lift up ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. God bless you. May be seen.
Wonderful chapter that is. Amen. Who is this King of glory? He's the one that fights our battles. You know, there's a battle that's going on. He didn't promise that they wouldn't be, but he promised a victory. And you just put your faith in the victor, the mighty conqueror this morning. Brother Bob, would you come this morning and lift up the tithes and offering? You did such a wonderful job with that Sunday school class. This morning we're going to keep you working.
Lord,
let's sing that song, Fill My Way Every Day With Love. Amen. I've been enjoying those subjects Brother Bob's been covering. And, you know, one thing I've learned in my Christian experience is that when you preach about these little areas of our lives, bitterness, contentment, and those kind of things, you're actually addressing and preaching about these virtues. There are things in us that we constantly have to die to, and we want every day of our life to be filled with that love, right? That's the love of Christ that just trickles down into our life. Amen. Let me get to the verses here. Let me walk, blessed Lord, in the way thou hast gone, straight to the land above. Oh, give and cheer every day, in the sad and the lone. Fill my way every day with love. Oh, fill my way every day with love. As I walk with the heavenly dove, let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love, and keep me close to the side of my Savior and God. Let me never in darkness roam, and keep my path free from wrath and my soul satisfied. Fill my way. Come to glorify, glorify your name. Oh, I just come to glorify, Lord, glorify his name. Oh, there's no other name.
Greater name, you know. Your brothers and sisters next to you are here to worship. Why don't you turn one to another and just greet each other in the name of the Lord, in the house of the Lord. I just want to glorify your name. And there's no greater name I know. I tell it to him once more. Oh, I just come to glorify his name. Oh, how worthy is his name. I just come to glorify his name. And there's no greater name I know. I tell it wherever I go. Glorify your name. Amen. So we're going to make sure everyone's awake this morning. We got a song for everyone. It's called There Is No One Like Jesus. Everybody know that song? Do you know what you do in that song? We're going to get you in motion. You know the over in Israel, if you go to the Wailing Wall, when the rabbis and the ones that go there to pray, they're always moving. And I didn't know why, and I looked it up. It's because they say, because we serve a God that is an action God.
Yeah.
He is always wanting us to move. Move in his word. You can't stay still. And so if you're not moving, you're not progressing. Because God's doing something. It's an invisible union, but it's happening in his people. The bride is moving by the march of his word. So there's three things we're going to do. It's going to say, I walked all over. We're going to turn around. I know it's a small space in your benches, but you can turn around because we've done this before at church. And I've turned all over. What is the motion for turn? Maybe it's this. I don't know. We'll go through it. I searched all over. So we walked all over, and we've searched all over, and we've turned all over. I'm not sure what that motion is, but we'll get through it. And there's no one like Jesus. Amen. There's no one like Jesus. There's no one like him. Oh, there's no one like Jesus. All over.
You gonna walk? I walked around all over. There you go. Come on. I turned around all over. I searched around all over. There's no one. There's no one like him.
Amen. You believe that? All right, this afternoon at 2:45, we'll be doing the same thing. By the time y'all get sleepy, we're going to walk around all over. Boy, the Jamaicans, we sang that for an hour almost. I know, it gets you a little winded, but it's okay. Be winded for the Lord. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to have each and every one of you here. Good to have a wonderful day started. Amen. I've looked for other things, haven't you? You always come back to Jesus. World can't satisfy nothing. The world can try, as the song says, to satisfy that longing in your soul, but you come right back to Jesus Christ. If you're elect, seed of God, this is all you need right here. Amen. By way of announcements, today we're going to have communion and foot washing. This coming Wednesday, Brother Luis will be speaking for us. Next Sunday, Brother Noel Johnson will be with us. That'll be on the 10th. It'll be two regular services. Excuse me, Brother Rolando Genesis. We know him as Brother Landland from the Philippines. He will be here on Wednesday night, the 13th. September 16th at 3 o'clock, we'll be having our youth service. We need to get together about food. Some of the sisters are going to be here. We're probably going to have a pretty good crowd. Brother Luke Gibson said he was going to bring some people from his church. So just expecting a big crowd. So September the 17th, we'll only have one service. Brother Andrew Glover will be with us. And way on down the line, a couple of weeks from now, October the 29th, our fall festival, we're going to have it on Sunday. We'll have one service. Brother Vernon Manahan from the Philippines will be with us. And we'll have one service that day, and then we'll go down and have hamburgers, hot dogs down at the park in Gillsville. And we've renovated it, made it bigger. So you'll be able to enjoy that. On Sunday, we'll have some games and prizes and jumpy houses and all that stuff. So just keep that in prayer. Also, happy Labor Day tomorrow. And then also remember Brother Dale and Terrence got about the same thing. They've got a little stomach problem, stomach issues. So let's just remember that and remember them also. Also, praise God, I haven't been to the doctor yet, but I did get my my chart. My chart's pretty accurate, I would think. Yeah, well, the nurses that we have are shaking their head yes. But all 14 biopsies were benign. That's right. That's what we were looking for. That's what Brother Daugherty said. It's what we were looking for. But there was two concern areas, and they all came back benign. So we sure appreciate that. Appreciate the Lord giving us grace. Amen. Giving us grace and mercy. But we sure do appreciate doctors. You know why? I was thinking back there. There used to be a thing called exploratory surgery, right? A while back, a long time ago, they'd have to cut you open to find out what was wrong with you. I thank God that somebody created a machine, MRI, CT scan, ever how they got to go up or down, they can find out what's going on without them cutting you open like a fish. But I appreciate the whoever it was, I don't care who it was, worldly guy or whoever it was, these MRIs and CT scans are well better so the doctors can help us. I sure believe in doctors. I know y'all do too. We're not against them, none whatsoever. So, but we sure do appreciate the Lord, though, because the great physician is the one that we look at, and we see that by his stripes we're already healed. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. We're going to kind of deviate just a little bit today because there's something I want you to praise God about today. We're the elect. We're the bride. I want us to show that. Let's bow our heads. Lord, thank you for being with us today already. Lord, in song and worship. And I pray that you'd be with us in the word, Father. You said you sent your word and healed us. Lord, may the healing power go from the front all the way to the back. And Lord, reach out into places like Sister Frieda and Mom and Dad and Sister Johnny and Sister Mary and all the different ones. If I forget somebody, Lord, forgive me. But you know who they are, Lord, that needs you right now. Yes. And Sister Tootsie, too. Sister Frieda and Sister Tootsie being sick. We pray that you'd touch them, Lord, and raise them up out of that, Father. We thank you for all things. We give you praise and honor that you've even let us live another day, that we can breathe and breathe freely and live in a country that for now we can, Lord, be free and be able to stand in a pulpit and be able to congregate together. But, Lord, there may be a time when that's not going to happen. So I pray now, Lord, that we, as you told the prophet, that we would put things in our storehouse. Today, Lord, may we fill up our storehouse as we brought it, Lord, an empty vessel to use us, Lord, for your honor and glory. And bless your people. Bless the congregation. Bless the ones in the foreign fields, Lord, our foreign brothers, Lord. We pray that you'd touch them, Father, today. Just ever be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And we do have a few that still that's going out on vacation, and we've got some that's going on vacation, so we we want to keep them in prayer. Man, been some horrible wrecks out around the community, so we just want to pray the Lord's mercy on all of us. In the beginning was the Word. This is 128. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, listen, listen, I say unto you, except the man be born again, he cannot see or understand or be a part of the kingdom of God. But he's made provision that you can. This is what I want to get to today. Revelation 19:6. And I heard it as it was the voice. Now look at all these voice. It's one voice, not voice says. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and of the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord omnipotent reigneth. In other words, every voice said the same thing. Every voice said the same thing. Went to different places, thundering, waters, but it all came down to one place. It's saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice, not be sad and downtrodden. No, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. That's your new birth. Remember, that happens down here. And his wife hath made herself ready down here. All right. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed. We'll look at that word arrayed, or clothed, or a garment thrown over us in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness. The righteousness, it doesn't say of God. It says the righteousness of saints. You may be seated in the Lord as a blessing to the reading of the word. Let's continue on now. We know that we've been talking about being born again, and some of you have sent messages that they've had a good time with this, and I really appreciate the positive comments. Sometimes you think, man, you're preaching on a new birth again. Brother Dale's preached it for 30, 40 years, and here we are at it again. Well, you know what? Somebody needs it. I may need it. I need a refilling, so I need being born again. All right? Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Being born again, that word being means begot again, to produce. I like that, to produce again. You've already produced a new birth. God has produced himself. Now what you got to do? You got to produce. You got to produce Christ. In other words, you've got to produce, if there's oranges in your the life of the orange plant, you got to produce oranges. All right. So if you got the life of God in you, we are going to have to produce the life of God, not just on Sunday and Wednesday, not just part of our life. And you know, our graph shouldn't look like this. Our Christian walks, we sure it is, but it shouldn't look like that. Our Christian experience should be that it carries us through everything, and even though we have a bad day or a good day, it really doesn't matter. We're heading in another direction. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. What is a seed? That is the word of God. So it's being born again by what? Non-truth cannot produce a seed of God. All right? And non-truth is not of God. We'll get to that in just a few minutes. Down in the church ages, there was a lot of non-truth. That was not God, but he allowed that to happen in Luther's age, Wesley's age, even in Columba and different ones. He allowed that to happen, but he said it would come back to incorruptible. Yes. It would come back to full word in the end time, and we'll get to that in just a second. By the word of God. So how are you being born again? By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Like I said, that word means to produce again, be born again, or born anew. In the message, you must be born again, Brother Brown said, look, God bless his word, and I want to take the subject this morning to Jesus' first doctrine. Now, what was his first doctrine? You must be born again. That was his first doctrine, and we find out that there's so many different meanings that people put to it. That's what we've been talking about. Nearly all churches say you must be born again. There's not any religion that says, well, you just need to just... No, there's a method, I guess you might say, to some people, that to get born again. But it can't be a creed, it can't be a dogma, and it can't be false doctrine. All right, it's got to be the word of God. Nearly all churches say you must be born again, but each one has their different interpretations what it means to be born again. Now, remember, to be born again, as we were saying before, it's not got anything to do with a feeling, with an emotion. It's an experience. You're still what you were until you're actually born again of the Spirit of God. All those creeds don't change you. All your coming to church don't change you. Listening to tapes don't change you. Let her kill us. Spirit giveth life. That's what we'll look at here in just a few minutes. Because when we in this statue of a perfect man, it's got to be the Spirit, truth. Everything's got to come together. All right? For everything to come together, we've got to be, as the prophet of God told us, to be honed. All right? And then iron has got to fit iron. Iron can't fit rubber. So you got to have the same. In other words, the life of Christ is what's growing up. And guess what's coming down as the headstone? It's the life of Christ. All right? So we need to get, if we have to, let's get back to that. Let's live the life of Christ. All right? Then all these mysteries that we're talking about and the voice that we're hearing will be the one that'll take us out of here. You're still what you were until you actually born again of the Spirit of God. Doesn't change you. Your creed, joining church, change your idea. Our good intentions, although as good as that might seem, it's still not right. There's something got to happen. Remember, Brother Brown tells us, he said that Luther and Wesley, couldn't get full word because they were reformers. Now, churches that don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, they are reformers. Can you nod just a little bit louder? It's rough, Bob. You're supposed to plow this field before me. There's something got to happen. The new birth is an experience, something that takes place. So something did happen in Luther's age, but yet God still had to wink at his ignorance when he said, we still need to be baptized in the name of Father, Son, Holy Ghost, because that's what the Mother Church said. And we don't know any different. We're going to come out. The just shall live by faith. We don't have to live by creed. We don't have to live by the Catholic Church or the dogmas. But then Luther said, okay, well, that's it then. But God said, no, Luther, that's not all of it. That's not full word. That's part of the word. You got to move on further. And then Brother Brown said, what? They all cabbage down. He talks about the Pentecostals. They all cabbage down. They all stopped, as Brother Joe was talking about, the wailing wall, if you'll look at them, I mean, they're moving. Why? Because God's in motion. God's moving all the time. Listen, in the Garden of Eden, when the masterpiece, I'll read it to you in just a minute. Brother Brown said, when the masterpiece fell on its face, he said, God immediately began working to get that thing standing back upright again. So praise God. Amen. That he's still working on me. But it's a new birth, it's an experience, something that takes place. So it is not that that brings a new birth. In other words, the creeds and dogmas. Now, the different churches say, well, accept this or believe this. I don't want to accept anything. Satan can get you to accept anything. But when God comes in and burns that old you out and you say, oh, what a change in my life. I have new thoughts. Oh, yeah, those old thoughts are still there, but I've got new thoughts. The word has become more alive. Not like y'all. Dead as a hammer. Something ought to be sparking inside. If it's not sparking inside by now, then we need more than walking all over. We need to get over. Get over ourselves. Everybody's looking around at everybody else saying, well, he's not saying amen, so I'm not going to say amen. That's never bothered me one bit. Hebrews 11, verse 39 said, all these having attained a good report, talking about the Old Testament. Listen, we're standing here in a real small microcosm of this plan of God, right? I mean, we're right here in the moment, 2023. We're standing here September the whatever it is, 3rd. All right, now, we are standing in a day where you say, well, it's good weather outside, and we got tomorrow off, and y'all ought to be praising God just for that. Amen. Those of you that work. Those of you that don't, praise God anyway. Amen. But we're standing in this one little day, but every believer, this is what I want you to get today, this and another thing I want to bring out. Today, every believer, every powerful Paul, Irenaeus, Martin, Columba, think about this, Luther, Wesley, William Branham. Is that a place waiting on us to come to a place? Even the Old Testament saints. Because they received not the promise. Now, the ones I just told you, they received the promise. But they didn't receive full promise because it wasn't in their full time to have it. You and I are in the full time. That voice is what's going to call us out of here. Not out of a denomination or out of a creed, but out of this world. And they're not going without us. God having provided some better thing. Listen, folks, this is that better thing. That they without us should not be made perfect. Brother Brown said, now in blasphemous names, I believe the reason that there's so much confusion today about the Holy Spirit. Now look, if there's a confusion, it's about the Holy Spirit. All right? Because if you don't get the Holy Spirit and you don't get the new birth inside your soul, Daniel 70 weeks, the seals will never open to you. Never open to you without the new birth. You will never get a correct revelation of these end time truths or mysteries without it. Without the new birth, we're nothing. We are confused. There's so much confusion today about the Holy Spirit, it's not correctly taught. That's why. I believe that the baptism is taught, says just a baptism. In other words, just throw it out there. It's a blanket thing. It's not. Listen, it's the life of God.
Yes, sir.
That changes your old life. Amen. Your old nature.
Yes, sir.
Doesn't just throw you away and hide you somewhere. Now he kills it.
Yes,
when you talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there's a lot goes with that. And we've been talking about it for the past several weeks. There's a lot goes with that. Because here in Ezekiel, thank God again for a prophet that told us about this new heart. That God's going to give us a new attitude. He's going to give us a new way of thinking. He's going to give us, come on, I mean, he's taught, he went right to the heart.
Yes.
Right to the thing that if it quits beating, you're done. Doesn't matter how sharp the rest of it is, you have a heart attack, you're gone. Right? Okay, without some medical help or what more. So a new heart will I give you and a new spirit. See, God was, he's the one that, have you ever thought about this? There's nothing new under the sun, right? There's nothing new. There's nothing that man has come up with that God or the devil hadn't already thought of. And I want to put him in there too. Amen? So these MRIs, CT scans, all that stuff they can do outside your body without opening you up, God's been doing it since the dawn of time. God's been wireless forever. He's never needed a connection. He just needs you to be what? Be a willing receptor.
Yes, sir.
Right. He's healed people.
Hallelujah.
and never even make an inch cut. So nothing new under the sun. Man has just what? Tapped into God's laboratory and said, hey, we can take these unseen waves, compress them together, or what more? Or these, if we're a light and magnetic images and they come up with all, and that's great. Fine with me. That's okay. Like I said, better than cutting you open like a fish and said, oh, there's nothing wrong. So you back up. But I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. Has he done that? Has he softened us up? I want you to think about you. I'll think about me. Like Bob said, judge yourself. Now, if we judge ourselves righteous, then we can judge, because we are going to be the judge. It's like Brother Dale's always said, if he was standing at the point of casting the first stone, he'd have to cast the first stone. Why? Why? Judgment starts where? House of God. All right? But you're going to take the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. In other words, something you can work with. And I will put my spirit within you. Now, there is the Holy Spirit. There is when God burns your old nature out and what vulcanizes his soul. Hello, somebody. His soul with your soul. That's the Creator. That's the man that can produce anything that he says. He's inside of you today by the new birth. Or he's not. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to want to come to church. Cause you to want to read your Bible. Cause you to want to do right. Amen. We're going to read here in just a minute where we've stopped at it for many, many times about the statue of perfect man there in 2 Peter. We'll read it if we get to it maybe this afternoon. It'd be this afternoon, sorry. But where Brother Peter says that if you do these things, it'll make you. Make you. You can't help it. Come on. Amen. That's what I want. Yes. I want where I can't help it. There you go. Amen. Why do you praise the Lord? I can't help it. Amen. Why do you shout? I can't help it. Amen. There's something inside of me that says, amen. There's something inside of me that says, let me out. Yes. And show the world. Because the world sees enough junk. So I said before, even out in the world, be kind to people. Be nice. Be nice. This world is, like Bob said, so cruel. It is the most cruel. Why? Because there's no spiritual rudder. There's no, even in the churches, there's no, what they call Christianity today would have never made it in an old-timey church. Never would have made it. They'd have called you a dog and a devil for what they call Christianity now. Are we caught up with it, though? Are we caught up the same way? And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem, or tarry wherever you want, tarry here, until ye be endued or put on like a garment. Now, what did it say in Revelation 19? The bride has made herself ready. In other words, she has clothed herself. Listen, the Arbor Meatpacking guy did not come and clothe that woman that he went to pick up.
That's right.
Amen.
She clothed herself. Amen. She was waiting ready on the porch. Come on. Oh, he's coming. Y'all just, as Mom was talking to somebody, a doctor one time, a doctor friend of hers, and she's a good Pentecostal lady, but she said, oh, and this is, to me, just listen to what I'm saying. She's looking at Mom and sees the holiness, and she sees that Mom, she's supposed to be a Christian herself. And she says, oh, you believe all the Bible. I'd have said, what part don't you believe? Are you a Christian? But that's what the world is. They look at you and they go, oh, you're from that Old Testament bunch. Or are you from that old Pentecostal bunch? Well, praise God, they saw a difference. Some of y'all, maybe they won't even see a difference in. But praise God if they do. Until you be endued or clothed with power or dunamis from on high. And that dunamis is God's power. And that dunamis is an inherent power. It's something you get and keep. Now, remember, he gave them power See, he gave Luther power. He gave Wesley power. Come on, people. He even gave Columba power. He gave them power over evil spirits. Now, this is the disciples before the Holy Ghost fell on the day of Pentecost. And Judas was standing there with them.
That's right.
He gave them power, or exousia, which is a temporary power. Give it to you, take it away from you. Give it to you, just like an anointing. Anoint you to do something, and then take it right away from you. Cast out devils, heal all manner of sickness, and all manner of diseases. He just laid the blanket out and said, hey, go. And Judas was right there with him. But Judas didn't carry on. He didn't believe the word to its fullness. But exousia power will give you authority. All right? But like Brother Bob was saying, we've read it many, many times, but if you really just break it down, that Brother Brown says power without character. So see, God's not going to give you a whole bunch of power if he knows you're going to just start zapping people out of the way, you know? Cars will be driving by themselves. Never mind. Do away with them, Lord. They cut me off. And here goes a car with nobody in it. My boss, oh, he's gone. See, that's power without character. But power with character, you pray for the person because they don't know no better. They haven't been taught. Have you ever invited them to church? Now you can get quiet because you can't say amen to it. Have you invited them to church? My enemies? Yeah, remember, I got two gay guys living beside me, and I have invited them to church. But you shall receive power after. Because remember, before, you're powerless. You may have this great strength and this great ability. Earthly. But without receiving power from on high, or dunamis power, you're just a wimp. Now look right, let's see this right here. And this is where I want to kind of, I want to talk to us just a few minutes, kind of a little side note. And I'll read you a statement that I believe the Lord gave me. While I was cutting grass, Brother Ryan, I'm back on the lawnmower again, but it's my personal one, so I'm cutting my own grass. But the Lord gave me a powerful statement. And I'm going to go ahead and state it to you, and then I'll read it to you in just a minute. But you know, I was thinking, I thought, the devil's been doing this, you know, working in our communities and in our bodies, making us sick, making us backslide. But do you know one thing's for sure? I'm going to read it to you. After I read all this, I'm going to read it again. Read that. And you're looking at us. Never, never since Jesus Christ was on this earth has Satan ever had such a formidable opponent. We have his answer.
Yes, sir.
He don't know how to deal with us. But never before. That's why it's a headstone message. That's why the message had to come. It brings Jesus Christ back to earth in a bride. Not coming on a white horse. That's Revelation 19. That's after everything's over with. But anyway, let's go back over here, and then I'll read it to you again. But I'm going to tell you how. Brother Bram said, look, Christ in the true church is a continuation of the book of Acts. You say, Brother Wade, what's this got to do with the statue of perfect man? It has everything to do with it. You got to realize who you are and what you're doing here. You got to realize that God is working through your life, bringing these virtues into your life, not another group that's coming. Oh, we're just setting groundwork. Listen, there was somebody that did say one time, I'm just setting groundwork. This is the building. This is not the groundwork. This thing has come off the foundation, and it's a building. How that the Antichrist spirit would come into the church and defile it, make it lukewarm, formal, and powerless. We see it everywhere. Listen to this, in Revelation of Jesus Christ. Now that is the revelation. Jesus Christ is God. Jehovah the Old Testament is Jesus of the New. No matter how hard you try, you can't prove there's three gods. But it also takes a revelation to make you understand that truth. All right? So it takes a revelation. All right? I mean, how can you see this God that can be everywhere, do everything, be a Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and be one person? Because, see, I can be a Father, a Son, and a human being, but I can't be inside of you. Or I can't be in California. I don't want to be in California. I can't be in Alaska. Right? But God can. Because he's omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. He's all those. He's God. But it also takes a revelation by the Holy Spirit to make you understand the truth that he is one. It takes a revelation to see that the Jehovah of the old is the Jesus of the new. Satan crept into the church and blinded the people to this truth. Satan crept into the church. And when they were blinded to it, which means they accepted it, it wasn't long until the Church of Rome stopped baptizing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we done yet? No. Watch this. Resurrection, 1953. See, I don't want to blame you people. It's the pulpits where it started. No wonder that's the damnation of the country when Satan got in the pulpit. It's the truth. Failing to preach the unadulterated word of God. And the word of God will produce just exactly what it said it would do. But we explain it all away. Oh, it's for some other day. Or it's for some other group. Masterpiece, 1964. Listen to this. This is a good one. Now notice, then this masterpiece, when Satan got a hold of it, the deceiver, he broke through the walls. And he marred this masterpiece. We know what he did. Because that's the way he did it. What? How did he do it? I'll go more in detail of it. Remember, he's talking about the serpent seed doctrine. How he done it. This masterpiece was walled by the word, God's word. And the masterpiece itself of the family was fortified by his word. All right, remember, Eve was Adam's bride, in type being the bride of Christ, right? She fell because she got out from behind the word of God. But the broken part that was broken off of the original, he's talking about Eve, went out beyond that wall. Now, we're talking about a church now, not exactly just Eve. We're talking about church. Went out beyond that wall. It gives Satan a chance to mar it. And now, as you know what I believe on these things, talking about serpent seed. But watch. But the great sculptor. Thank God for a prophet. He didn't leave us out somewhere. He didn't throw us out in the ditch. Didn't leave us out on a limb. No. He gave us some rope to pull it back. Watch. But the great sculptor, when he seen the fall of his family, the masterpiece, he wasn't willing just to leave it lay there. Face down and ruined. He went to work immediately to build it up again. He wasn't willing that it should perish, lay there like that all the time. Because he is God and he will not be defeated. I'll clap anyway. He will not be defeated. So he went to work immediately and began to build again into his own image a man. Now, we know who that man was. It was Jesus Christ. All right? Now, look. Harvest time, 1964. The prophet of God says, then Eve met her failure. So did the church. Now, watch. So did the church. He keeps saying church. So did the church. So did the church. Gave away the denomination, rules of man, to be ruled by man, not controlled by the Spirit no more. She went away from the word and accepted dogmas. Who can say amen? Congregation says amen. But do you know we Protestants accept as many dogmas as they got? I'm talking to the message believers today. When we add something to this word or take something from it, Satan got her with his same old technique he did Eve. Compromising. That's where he got it. And something different from the said something different from the word. A creed or a denomination. Pergamene church age. How can you tell the spirits apart? He's talking about the two spirits in the framework of the church. Just give them the word test. If they don't speak that word, they are of the evil one. Pay attention. As the evil one deceived the first two brides. You say, who is that? Eve and Israel. Got it? Eve and Israel. He had to divorce. He had to put Israel away to get me and you. Now, what have we done with it? He will try to deceive the bride of this last day by trying to get her to hybridize herself through creeds or just plainly turning from the word to any sign that suits her. But God never placed signs ahead of the word. Signs follow the word. As when Elijah told the woman to bake a cake for him first, according to the word of the Lord. When she did as the word said, we ought to try that sometime. When she did as the word said, the proper sign came. Come to the word first, and then watch the miracles. The seed word is energized by the Spirit. How can any messenger sent from God believe only a part of the word and deny some of it? The true prophet of God in this last day will proclaim the whole word. Denominations will hate him. Praise God. His words may be as harsh as John the Baptist, who called them vipers. But the predestinated will hear. And be ready for the rapture. The royal seed of Abraham, with like faith as Abraham, will hold on to the word with him, for they are predestinated together. Now, in the first seal, now he's coming to the seals. Now he's getting ready to open. The seals are getting ready to open. And watch what he says. Now, watch. He said it would be known in the last days, but it comes forth in a church symbol. Do you understand it, church? It comes forth in a symbol of a church that they don't know there is a seal, but just what it is yet, they don't know because it's a white horse rider. And it only is to be revealed at the last day when this actual seal is broken. Broken to who? Not to Christ, but to the church. He keeps saying church, but now watch. Notice, oh my, that just makes me tremble. I hope that the church truly understands it. See what I mean, you people? He stops. Something strikes him. He says, I'm going to call you bride that you'll understand it.
Amen.
I'm going to call you bride. In other words, I'm going to separate you from all this I've been talking about a church. Because out of the church will come a bride. I'm going to call you bride, see? That you'll understand it. Well, who's going to understand it? Just the bride. Christ's mystery, God revealed. Listen to this. Then we stand justified in the presence of God. As a drop of ink dropping into a tub full of bleach, you'll never find the stain of that ink no more. How many believes that? You better than you still got your sin. It went somewhere. It'll never come back again. And when man is truly redeemed, that predestinated seed that sees it and accepts it, his sins are demolished. It's gone. It's separated. It's dropped in the ink of the blood of Jesus Christ, never to be remembered. God forgets it. And he stands as a son and daughter of God in the presence of God. Amen and amen. Now we are the sons of God. Not we will be, we are. Now we are redeemed. Now listen to this. We have Satan's answer.
Yes, sir.
There's your answer.
Yes, sir.
We're an opponent that he can't stand. Amen. But we're an opponent that's not going to fail.
Amen.
God has vindicated himself. God proves himself to this promise in this day.
Yes.
Hallelujah. The headship is here. Talk about the opening of the seals. Amen. Christ, the risen Lord, is here in the same power of his resurrection that he ever was, manifesting himself. There's the devil's answer. Oneness, 1962. Love this sermon. The kingdom of God is the word of God made back in power. We look for all kinds of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the word of God made back into power. So that's my statement. I was thinking, I thought, never since Jesus Christ was on earth has Satan had such a formidable opponent. He's whipped a lot of good people. Sorry. All those people are waiting on us. Some under false doctrine. Hello? But they're waiting on the perfect one. Well, see, remember the Old Testament was waiting on the perfect one too, right? Jesus Christ. Well, when he showed up, there was the perfect one. So now where is he at now? Oh, no, he's still back there in the church ages, or he's in heaven, or he's over there somewhere. No, he's in his bride. He's not in a church. He's in a bride. All right? So never has Satan had such a formidable opponent than the bride of Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? I did. I did circles in the yard. When you try to put the Holy Spirit in a denomination, you can't get a splutter. Or a sputter. You'll ruin your engine by getting it full of carbon. But oh, I'm so glad that there's a 10,000 octane power, the Word of God, and a Holy Ghost to light it up. You got to have the two. And to resurrect the power of God into a man's life, or a woman's life, or into a church, that shoved that Cadillac down the road under the dynamic power of the Holy Ghost, which came back and was waved over the people at the day of Pentecost. That's 2,000 years ago, making him the same yesterday, today, and forever. There was the first sheaf come up from all the prophets, which was the Son of God, the King of all prophets. We quoted this many times, but I believe it more and more today. There have been churches, brides. There's been a bride in every age. All right? There's been a bride in every age. Seven of them. Seven ages is already almost past the seventh one. Brides, churches, brides. But there's got to come one. Amen. There's got to come one, hallelujah. There has to come a real bride. Yes, sir. The one that has not only mechanics but dynamics. Amen. Makes that church live, move in the power of his resurrection. I pray that that's our goal. Amen. Our goal is not to sit in a garage. And rust and rot. Until we come to that place, until we find that place, what good does it do to polish the hubs? In other words, what good does it do for you to come to church if you're not going to do what the Word says? And the ones of you that don't come to church every once in a while, you need to get born again. What good does it do to give her a facelift or a simonized job when there's no dynamics in it? No matter how much the mechanics proves to be right, there has got to be a dynamic to make it work. Amen. Revelations 10:7 says, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared. Amen. In other words, a voice. Yes, sir. Has declared to his servants, the prophets, and the voice, which I heard from heaven, spake unto me again. The voice. Amen. Through this message has given us a voice. There's been many voices, many brides, many churches, many denominations. But there's one, remember. That's why it's a mystery. You got to hear the voice to get the mystery. All right? Everybody with me? Because you got to take, let's take Paul for a minute. We've went through this many times, but Paul goes and he's getting ready to just destroy the Christians. He's on his horse. He's on his high horse. And he's heading toward on the Damascus Road. He's heading to put Christians in jail and to cause them to blaspheme, to kill them. Right? All of a sudden, there's a bright light, knocks him off his horse, but there's a voice that speaks to Paul. Paul, or Saul, he said at the time, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Now, the Bible tells us in several scenarios, same way with Jesus, when there was a voice from heaven, said many heard the thunder, many saw the light, many heard something. But they didn't hear the voice Paul heard. Amen. Paul heard the voice, listen, Others heard other things. Is that what we've been doing for 60 years? Hearing other things? Because I remember right here in Revelation 19, there was a promise that that voice was going to take us and make us the bride, mature bride. All right? So in a sermon or you watch or listen to a tape, it doesn't matter. No matter how loud I can scream, only the elect is going to hear the voice of God. As we've said before, many people, y'all all sit in meetings, and I told you, we sit in, well, I just don't mean meetings, I mean right now. You're going to get 15 minutes of sermon, you're going to get your 15, everybody's going to get their different, what you need of a sermon. But how many people hear the full word of the day, and it impacts them that way? You think about it. You don't have to, amen. You can go with me all you want to. If you want to do that, that's fine. But only a few hear the word for their day. Others just hear a voice. A voice. It says in the days of the voice. You and I have heard, if you've heard the word of God for the end time, you've heard the voice of God. Why did we need it? We needed it for maturity. Brides, brides, voices, 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 voices. But there's one. You better decide whether you're hearing the right voice or not. It doesn't matter if it comes from me, Brother Bob, Brother Aaron. Doesn't matter. That to, the vessel at that moment doesn't matter.
Go ahead.
And I heard it as it were the voice of a great multitude. Now John is typing who? The bride. He hears a voice. And then the voice of many waters, and then the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Listen to this real quick. 1961, the Comforter. We have a great heritage, a great sacred trust that's been given us. You might wonder now, Brother Branham, you're talking about sunshine, great sunshine of God's glory to make healthy spirits, to make us strong Christians. That's what we're here to find out tonight, in other words. How do we get these things? How do they come? Where do they come from? What are they? Show me what it is, Brother Branham. Can I buy it at the drugstore? What kind of a vitamin is it? You don't buy this in a drugstore. But there is plenty of it right close to you if you'll just receive it. It's just knowing the formula how to receive it. There'd be drugs in a drugstore, but there's got to be a doctor. You don't just walk in a drugstore and say, hey, give me some, you know, on that wall, and give me some of them pills. No, you have a prescription, right? What is that prescription? That is your protection. Because the doctor's diagnosed your case. He has found out what needs to be done. He writes not 45 different voices, I mean prescriptions, right? Usually they'll just give you one per sheet, right? So that's what you've been given. Now watch. There'd be drugs in a drugstore, but there's got to be a doctor to diagnose the case. If he didn't, it might kill you. So therefore, you've got to have a diagnosis of the case. You just can't go and take a sinner and give him the Holy Ghost. Amen. He's got to repent first. Yes. He's got to be washed his sins away. Yes. He's got to be prepared for this vitamin that's going to be given him.
Yes, sir.
Now, we have a sacred trust. You know what a trust is. We have an inheritance, a heritage that we inherit as believing children. It's a sacred trust. And that sacred trust and our sacred heritage, look, it's the Word of God that's not been given to Luther, but it's been given to us. The full Word of God. The word itself is the vitamin, the word itself, God's word. That's where a reason I'm so dogmatic is I would call it on standing on this word. No matter what anything else says, if it's not with the word, I don't believe it. See, if you want to believe it, that's all right. But to me, it takes the word, because heaven and earth will pass away. But my word shall never fail. Therefore, it takes the word. Then we're coming to the token, because we're coming up the statue of perfect man. And we can display the token of the Holy Spirit. Shows that we have been accepted in Christ. And our token, that all that we have need of, is already purchased by him. We are identified with our token. The token must be ready. The blood, covenant blood, is not recognized without the token. Now, he's going to tell us what the token is. The word assures us of that promise. The token is the sign. What is the token? The two pieces of paper. You and the two pieces of paper fit together. They fit right back together, just like that. All right, the token is the sign the purchase has been made for us. Full obedience, watch. This is where my thought was talking about the full word of God. Full obedience to part of the word of God does not entitle us to the token of the end time. But full obedience to the full word of God. That's why we don't live in the Old Testament. We live in both of them. The full word of God. What happened in the Garden of Eden? We know what Abraham did. Body change. We've got all these great revelations. What are we doing with it? You're sitting here half asleep. That's what you're doing with it. Grief. You'd be setting up if your favorite Netflix. What that brother say? Series was on. No other way is there that you could ever, look, be entitled to the token. Until you fully obey the word. Fully. Not what somebody has put into it and added to it, but what God said about it. When he said you must be born again, that don't mean jump up and down at the altar. That don't mean walk back there and shake hands with the pastor. That don't mean all this foolishness that we've seen done. Boy, he's pretty plain, isn't he? It don't mean putting your name on a church book. It means death to your first being and life to your second being. It means that the blood has been applied and you're identified by the life of Jesus Christ. And if he be the vine, then we be the branches. The life that's in the branch is in the vine. It bears the fruit. So I want to ask you a question today. Let's stand to our feet. If y'all can't stay awake, we'll just close. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you started believing this message? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be a Holy Ghost. You can't say that. You can't say that. Ephesians 4, verse 29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of your redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice. Be ye kind one to another. As Brother Bob had that list up there. It's just a reverse of what people are in the end time. I mean, a total reverse of this world. And even their thinking. All right? Be put away from you with all malice, and be you kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Then I'll stop right here. Musicians, come on. Possession the enemy's gates. Brother Ram said, now be real reverent, everybody now. Just be real reverent. We've already read this quote, and we'll read it again. Because I believe in the moving of God, but I believe in the moving of God as Brother Branham believed in the moving of God. Be still, be quiet. Let God speak. Amen. See, the Holy Spirit is so timid. How many knows that? Just real timid, Holy Spirit. Just any little interruption bothers him. Amen. You want to bother the Holy Spirit? interrupt him every once in a while. We'll talk about the rest of the gifts going up the statue of perfect man. But I want you to see, Paul, even Jesus, you know, some heard it thunder. Some heard many different things. Some saw many different things. But God didn't come down and just, you know, if you would have been, they probably, now I say this, just probably, Moses is walking home with his stick in his hand. He's 80 years old. He's walking home through the desert, and he looks out there, and there's a bush. And it's just burning red. It's just like it's burning up. Well, they may have been shepherds and all kind of people around different places, and they may have looked at it and thought, man, that thing's going to burn up, and turn around and walked off. But Moses, something drew Moses. Moses got close to it, and the bush spoke to him. Nobody else heard that voice. So Moses, take off your shoes. Right then, you know when somebody tells you to take your shoes off, that's somebody in authority. That's not somebody just hiding behind the bush. That's God. And he did everything God told him to do. Take your shoes off. Now, remember, Brother Ram said God would have never spoke to Moses if he had said, now, Lord, it's hot. This sand's hot. I think I'll just take my hat off. No. God said, take your shoes off. You take your shoes off. God tells us to do the things of God. We better start doing the things of God. Let's sing a song. God bless you. We'll start this afternoon. Right here.
God for the light and house. I owe my life to him. For Jesus is the light and house. And from the rocks of sin, for he has shown.
I
be. We thank God for the light. Have you ever seen, have you ever went and seen, we saw lighthouses out in when we were in Ohio. You know, it's there for a purpose. They don't just stick them out there to look pretty. Back before there was any communication at all, that's how they communicated. That light would go off and it would say, danger, there's rocks right here. As far as you can see, don't come closer. Do we pay attention to the lighthouse? Because if you don't pay attention to the lighthouse, you will have a wreck. And we don't want to be a wreck. Listen, this life is hard enough as it is. Let's don't make it any harder. But you're the bride. You've been called not a church anymore. You've been called a bride. You've been called to be clothed. You've called to be special. Now, not that we make ourselves special, but God said, I read you everything Brother Brown said, everything he said in the Bible. It's pointing toward a word-born bride, as Brother Brown talks about. A full word-born bride, not just pieces and parts. This is going to be a full unit that's going to leave this place. And Satan ain't going to know what to do with us. He don't know what to do with us now. He puts you down, afflicts you, sends you to the doctor, sends you to sickness, and sends you to hurting and everything else. And you just say, thank you, Lord. Somebody's praying for me. Then you see, then Satan, he out of left field, as you may say, Satan feels that power come and just smacks him right upside the head because he's looking at you. But there's saints all around the world praying. And here comes the power. Here comes the healing power. And I knocks him flat on his face. I thank God for that. I thank God for the power he's given the bride that we can pray and be confident. Not just pray, but be confident that he's going to do what he said he would do. Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this time that we have. The coming together of the bride of Jesus Christ. Lord, we believe what a prophet said. He stood one day and he said, there's brides, churches, brides, Luther's, Wesley, Pentecost, all down through the ages. Great men, Lord. Absolute great men. Powerful ministry. Put many people into your kingdom. But Lord, there'll come one. This one will stand in the end time and say, no Satan, no denomination, no Satan, we're taking a body change. We're not going to a grave. We're going up. And I pray, Father, that you just help us to see that, realize it, and walk into it, Lord. That's the token, the full word of God. Obedience to the full word of God is a token for the day. And we sure want that token because we want that peace. To where we're called, either we're called to go by the grave or we're called up into glory. We have that one peace that'll match your peace, Lord. And I pray that you'll be with us now. Take care of us. Be with us as we come back to church, Lord, at 2 o'clock, Father. Just bless your bride. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.
There's a river of life flowing out from me. Spring up.